On page 162. Second paragraph. B'midrash Zayas Ra'anan. The Midrash talks about olive oil, refreshing oil. And the Midrash says, Shayesh Gimel Shmanim, that there are three types of oil. It doesn't go into the actual language of the Midrash. B'chol Eila HaMadregos, Nimsa B'chol Ish Yisroel. Each of the three levels that you have in oil, which express the level of purity or the degree of purity in the oil, you have in each Jewish person these three levels as well. Sheyesh bo chelek elokus, there is within each Jew a godliness. Sheein bo pesolus, where there is no pesolus, no waste, no imperfection whatsoever. Behu shemen zach lemaor, that refers to, that's parallel to the purest oil, that first drop that comes out of the olive oil that they say they used for the menorah. Like Rashi brings down the first drop of oil. That is parallel to the neshama within us, shehu b'chinas ha-neshama, where there is no imperfection. It's a pure and holy thing. B'kochos ha-neshama, then these powers of the soul, k'shem ispashtin laguf, when they extend to the body, Mesarev bohem psolus, a certain amount of psolus, of imperfection, is mixed in. Utzrichin birur, at that level, refinement becomes necessary. At the highest levels of the soul, it's not necessary, the process of refinement, because it's already intrinsically pure and refined. But as it extends itself outward to the body, it becomes mixed in with imperfections, and that is where refinement and clarification needs to be performed. Umikol makom, however though, b'koach Hashem and Zach, through the power of the pure oil, the first madrega, yicholim l'sakein gam hakochos shemisarbin beguf, we can then take that and use it to perfect and rectify even the forces that have come and been confused and mixed up with the body. And so we have the second level of olive oil, which is less pure, and the neshama, as it goes into the body, becomes tainted or confused with the imperfections of the body. But since there's still an attachment and an association with the higher levels of the soul, which have not become flawed, because of that bond and that connection, we can always tap into the higher madrega of neshama and use its force and strength to help us refine the aspects of the neshama which have extended down to the body.
So we're saying that remains no matter what. We just may not be aware of it.
That's right. It's always there.
But it's always there.
It's always there. And that strength that it has allows the process of tikkun to take place.
I think your wording of calling it confused is good too.
It is a confusion. It's a confusion,
yeah.
Lubamako Macher Kosavnu, we have written in another place, Ki Bedoro Shamosha Rabbeinu Labashalom, Haya Megargaro Barosha Zayis, Vikhu Elecha, Shemin Zayis Zah. Says, in his time, it says, Megargaro Barosh HaZayis. I'm not sure what that means. Megargaro Barosh HaZayis. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that word. Something at the top of the olive, and take Shemin Zayis, olive oil. V'hoyo hachono l'chol hadoros. This was a preparation for all of the oncoming generations. Hold on one second, let me just take a look at that word. To be singling it out, right? This word, Gimel Reish, refers to like a single piece of fruit, like we saw actually this morning, we're talking about a grape, perhaps being a birya. And so he says that this phrase, Megargaro, this is not this Vasem, this is somebody else said this, that you're singling it out to be used in the process. And even more specifically, to single it out for shriveling. And so that's the thing. So Megargaro, they would actually single it out, which olives they were going to use, apparently on the tree. And then they would take from that the pure olive. that's what I wanted to say, singling out specific olives to use as megargir, to single out an individual fruit.
Well, then it would fit if he's tying this to B'nai Israel.
Yeah, right. Specifically, to single one out to let it shrivel and to be used in the whatever process they're gonna use. For page 162. Okay, so Haya Megar, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Haya Megargaro Barosh Hazayas, they would single it out at the top of the tree, Biku Elecha Shemen, and they would take from it pure oil. Bahaya Hachana Lechol Hadoros, and this was an act of preparation for all of the oncoming generations. Umeinze Yesh Bechol Prat. And of course, we have this process in each individual Jew. Ube'emes, Bechines Machshava Dibur Umaisa, Hein Hema Hagimel Shmanim. He says the three realms of the human being, what the Baal HaTanya calls them, the three Labushim, the three garments of the soul, are thought, speech, and action. And he says also that these three relate to the three levels of olive oil. Thought, speech, and action.
Did he get into the third?
He didn't. He didn't mention the third level yet.
He relates them to olive oil,
yeah. He takes that from the Midrash at the beginning. So he says, Ki b'machshava lo shayach ta'aruvos. In the realm of thought, the relevancy of ta'aruvos, of being confused, mixed up, does not pertain. There's a level of thought which is possible for us, which is pure. Now, of course, we can have confused thoughts too, as we all know. But he means to say that there's a madrega in thought, in machshava, which is parallel to that highest level of neshama that he discussed earlier, which is pure and there's no imperfection. It's like in its own sanctified quarters, a level of thought that we have. V'zeh ha-shemen shekosa b'midrash she'eno mis'arev m'shar mashkin. And this is, as the Midrash relates about oil, what is unique about oil, it does not intermingle with other liquids. As you know, you've mixed oil with something else and it separates spontaneously by itself. It doesn't mix. So that dimension or quality of oil refers to the realm of thought which is possible to actually segregate it from other impurities. Ki ein ha-machshava mekabel ta'aruvos, because thought does not receive external influences of impurity. And then what about the foreign thoughts that we do have? V'ha-machshavos zoros, the strange and counterproductive thoughts that we do have, shaboyin la'adam, that come to a human being. Mikol makom, einam yicholin lehisarev. Says they may come, but it is possible for us not to allow them to become intermingled. We may suffer an onslaught of negative thoughts, but there is a realm of our thought which is impermeable to these. There is a realm like that which can be pure. Rak shenidcha ha-machshav ha-nimeh ha-machshav ha-zorah. You cast this thought aside because it is an improper thought. You don't let it in. Avol ein misarev machshav ha-b'machshav. But one thought does not become confused with another. And if he wants to say that you have oil and you have liquid, you may have one and you may have another, but they don't mingle together. And he says the same thing with thought, that pure thought is such that it does not intermingle with impure thoughts. You have one and you have the other, but they stand separately. It's a very unique idea. It's usually not, we don't, no pun intended, we don't usually think in those terms of our thoughts being segregated based on their quality of purity. It's an interesting idea.
But in the confusion, you could lose sight of the pure thoughts.
Right.
In other words, what he's saying is it's not contaminated. Those thoughts stay pure.
They stay pure. L'chein ein pagam b'machshava. And therefore, there is no pagam, there is no defect in the realm of machshava.
That's giving the pure thoughts a very high realm of kedusha that's attached to Hashem. It's the same idea that everything can change, and but Hashem doesn't change at all. So these pure thoughts are always pure, and they're lofty thoughts. And we're talking Torah thoughts, and they're linked to Hashem. There seems to be the same idea then, where things never change. with Hashem, or another change would be pure thought. Mm-hmm. It's just what we do with them and how we see them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Right.
Va'yidei b'chinus ha-machshava yicholin la'olam la'shuvu l'sakein gam hadibur v'hamasa. It is through this realm of thought that we always have contact with again that we can always go back and improve and rectify our speech and our action. Ki ha-machshava eina nifgemes kana, because it is the thought which does not become plagued with imperfection.
Kana as well?
As we mentioned about Kandis Karlamala, right?
So is that trying
so
to say...
So this is his thing.
Once you've had a pure thought, or you've had a pure thought, we really can't make it impure?
Well, I'll tell you, see, I'm not sure what realm of thought he's talking about. I'll tell you why. Because the first part of the mimer, he mentioned the three types of oil correspond to three levels in a human being, of which he only mentioned two, Bob pointed out. The highest one was the realm of neshama, which is entirely pure, and there's no presence of imperfection whatsoever. And the second realm is extended to the body, and there is confusion. And the second realm can always rely on its association with the first realm to be masak, to have tikkun. Then he transfers this to the realm of machshava, dibur, and maaseh, and he says, because there is within us a realm of machshava, which is pure and untainted, our speech and our action can always go back and draw on that pure realm of machshava to be misaken. Something, that's how it manifests in the human being. It's present in the dimensions of the soul, but it also manifests in the human being in thought. Now, which thought does he mean? Does he mean a pure thought that we are zocheh to have, like an actual thought? Or is he talking about more in terms of what you see in the Sefer HaTanya, that it's a realm. It's a realm of machshava that perhaps we are not even necessarily aware of, per se. It's a deep realm of thought which is pure. And because of it, we can always draw on it to be Mithakein, Ardibur, and Maisa. I'm not sure. I think it's the latter.
What's your thought on this?
My thought is that it's the latter, 162. It's some type of very deep level of thought that, again, I'm not sure how conscious we are of it, if we are at all, which remains pure. That's what I think. Ubekocha Yecholin, he says, I'm sorry?
The very beginning, Sheesh Gimel Shemanim.
Shemanim, right, three levels of purity of oil.
Okay.
So we draw on that realm of thought to be misakein dibur, speech, and machshava, action, which can become polluted, you might say, or plagued with imperfection.
Separate, though, what he's saying from these pure thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this realm of thought remains pure, it's guarded, even an impure proper thought can't invade its territory, wherever that territory happens to be at. That's what I'm not so sure about.
Pitch with all the other times that we talked about these aspects of purity that we just can't touch because that deals directly
right.
with the realm of the Hashem.
Right.
So that it could be, like you said, he's talking that there's a realm of thought that
that's corresponds even, to that, right. I believe that's what he's referring to.
Some of our great studies have been able to tap that, and we'll see that by the noticeable changes in their life.
Right.
Yeah.
And we've probably all
walked through that.
Odd times in our lives have walked in that realm and just didn't stay in it. You know, I mean, there's times that things go on, that things that we've thought, and things that we did have been, I'll use the word, very in a very pure state. I mean, we just don't stay there.
How do you know that pure?
I'm using the word pure, you know, loosely because I don't know, I don't understand it, but I think
that happened to me before I started talking about it.
I don't feel that we know what this realm is, personally. I think it's a level of our personality that we're not aware of.
Where was that, neshama?
Well, certainly the neshama, but this realm of machshava that he's talking about, where there is no pagam.
Or would you agree we're at that state before we come into the body?
I'm not familiar with any thoughts of mind that are not susceptible to... I'm not familiar with any such thoughts. Every thought that I have is is susceptible to...
But there's a point that it wasn't.
It's a defect.
But there's a point that there wasn't.
Not that I'm familiar with.
Don't you think the way thoughts are in our mind, that here it is, you have a thought and it's pure, and then sooner or later it changed, something crept in.
The origin of thought.
But if you think about it, it's not there.
But we're not familiar with that realm.
But there's like Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Once you look at the particle, it's not there anymore because you've made a change. Well, as opposed to the Heisenberg.
Is that you should look at it, and that's
and
the way
it changed. The change is too bad.
It's your fault.
Right. It already changed, right?
Right. It almost seems, from the way he's talking, you could ask the Shaila, how is it possible to have Machshava Zara?
He's saying that Machshava Zara is a separate entity from this Machshava, and they can't even enter that realm. So it's like oil and water. They're just automatically segregated.
In the Moran and Vulcan, I think that the Rambam, when he's sort of thinking about in the context of the Greek philosophers, they had this idea of the realm of
pure thought. Yeah.
So there's a similar idea here?
I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with that, although I've heard it. Not familiar enough with it to make a comparison. Ubekocho yecholim esakein kol haramafe vorim, and it is through the power of this realm of pure thought that we can be mesakein all of our 248 limbs.
I wish I had a ticket for one aver for each time I read that.
Kama shakarsiv laha'alos nir tamid. As it's written that you use this pure olive oil that was spoken about at the beginning of this parsha to raise up an ongoing light. Remez l'ramach evorim. This refers to, this is a hint, to the 248 limbs. Shehem his pashtus ha-neshama, which are the extension of our neshama. So I believe that's what he's saying, that he's comparing this ongoing lighting of the menorah, but drawing on this source of pure olive oil to do that, that hints to our ability to constantly illuminate ourselves on an ongoing basis, drawing from that special koach in that realm of thought and in our neshama. Mm-hmm.
So
the best we are is the second level of oil. We're both,
our consciousness is in level two.
Right.
And this level one, in my opinion, is beyond our conscious mind.
But it's there and unconsciously we're drawing from it.
Yes, when we do mitzvahs, when we're trying to serve Hashem, we somehow are getting through to that realm. Certainly when we learn Torah, because that's directly affecting its clothing or machshava in the machshava satorah.
And how about like the word kedusha?
Perhaps in tefillah also, that there are certain parts of tefillah where we have kedusha ha-machshava as well. Torah and tefillah. Mm-hmm. You certainly have the presence of what's called godlus ha-mochen, an expanded mind, an expanded state of awareness when we daven and when we learn. That's called godlus ha-mochen. So it could be that state is characterized by its ability to reach into this realm of the machshava. It's like you have on certain, like on Purim, for example, certain realms of thought are opened up.
Like when you're dancing on the rabbi's table.
Even if you don't know it. Yes, Josh. No.
We have the scars to prove it.
No, is it possible that what the psychiatrist later talked about with the subconscious relates in some way to this?
It relates, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, that might be the foreign thoughts.
Could be. And that's certainly identified, you know, I think apparently a subconscious thought system that's going on within us. This one is, but that subconscious is rife with both positive and negative drives. You know, whereas this one is entirely pure.
See, I just can't comprehend pureness.
But that's exactly what we're saying, right?
Right, but I can't comprehend it more when you say you can't comprehend. Then I'm thinking, well, anything that I'm thinking, you're not comprehending. I'm for sure, when I'm thinking that, that something positive it seems to be, like when a woman's lighting, at the point of time, a woman's lighting Shabbos candles. Why would that not be a time of total purity?
Because that moment, like any moment that I'm conscious of, is susceptible to a foreign thought.
But it's only susceptible, but right. If you don't have that foreign thought for that 5 second period.
Well, we're saying that there's a difference between a point of thought that's susceptible to the pagam, and one that's not even susceptible.
Entirely susceptible, right.
But once the time passed,
that's right,
it's not susceptible. Not susceptible. No,
I understand what you're
saying,
that there is possible to have a pure kavana, although it's perhaps quite difficult to have pure kavana, I personally am not convinced that that's the case. I mean, pure kavana is certainly nothing that I'm aware of what it is. That means that a person has no ulterior motives, even the remotest, fraction of distraction or something is not present. Nothing. No ego, no desire, no self-involvement, nothing. That's what we're talking about. I have no idea what that is.
That's what I have to say to my body. You got to shake it off.
I have a shot.
Yes. Please.
When they make the shem, it was the first squeeze out of the shem.
Right.
The shem's out.
Right.
And then that would go in one container, and then they'd squeeze the rest in someplace else.
Right. And that would go for the carbon benefits, right? Benefits, right.
And it would have to be, pieces would have to be separated out of it or something.
Well, the first piece they didn't even use in a mill. It was just a little press, and they pressed out one drop of oil. That would go for the menorah.
Right.
And then the rest would go into a rechaim, an actual press or a mill. And that could be used for the korban mincha. That was used in the mincha offering, the oil. So this is the Shem and Zayis Zach. And the Zach, he says, is referring to that realm of purity.
Labor intensive.
Yeah, very labor
intensive. Just
hours.
Labor intensive.
Big bronze. Must have been. That menorah could be seen all over the city.
Right.
Ule Saraska Shasu Shua. The next day, did you see that?
No, I've already passed that one, sorry.
What?
Yeah, Shamasa?
Yeah. A lot of people
Okay. 164 in the left column, the middle paragraph. Finish.
You're on an oil kick.
Yeah. The Midrash Mashem and Meir, just as the oil lights. Kach Beis Hamikdash Meir LaOlam, so the Beis HaMikdash illuminates the world. Just as oil illuminates, so the Beis HaMikdash.
When it says the Midrash,
yeah.
It could be anyone in the Midrash?
Usually, it seems to me to be going from the Midrash Rabbah and the Midrash Tanhuma. Those two.
Now, is there a lot of overlap between the Midrash Rabbah and the Midrash Tanhuma?
There's some. They're pretty different. Uh-huh. In my experience with it, they're actually, Midrash Tanhuma has its very own unique style.
Mm-hmm.
And Midrash Rabbah, it has its own way. So there's some overlap, but they're quite different. And some of the Yalkut, like the Yalkut Shimoni and things like that, which were compiled later, those I think draw from different midrashim, mm-hmm. Midrash Ofer Tov and things like that. Mm-hmm.
So we don't have, there's no Eitzah implicit eitza if
no,
you want to look up.
No, have to look up one or the other on the pasuk, right? Sometimes he actually says, you know, Medrash Rabbah, but
right.
Usually it just says the Medrash.
He just assumes everybody knows the
Medrash. Right. Lachei nikra'u Yisrael Zayis Ra'anan. Therefore, the Jewish people are called Zayis Ra'anan, which is, you know, fresh, invigorating olive. Shehemi irim lakol, in that we bring light to all. Hashemen hu meir, oil brings light. How is that so? Sha'al yodo ha'or nechaz bipsila, because it is through the medium of oil that the light, the fire, can grasp the wick. The oil allows the fire to grasp the wick properly. U'kamo kein al yidei beis hamikdash, likewise, through the beis hamikdash, ha'ya ha'or nechaz b'nefashos b'nei Yisrael, the light, referring to light from Hashem, grasps the souls of the Jewish people. So he wants to say that the Beis HaMikdash is the oil, the wick is our nefesh, is our neshama, and the light is Hashem's shining light. Dechasiva asuli mikdash v'shochanti v'sochan. As it says, make for me a mikdash, and then I will dwell amongst you. It sounds like, just like a fire can't really grasp a wick without oil, it will burn it up. That'll be that. So Hashem's presence in B'nai Yisrael is made most fitting and possible through the Beis HaMikdash, just like the oil. The Bezor HaKadosh, Ner Mitzvah V'Torah, where the Zohar says, Ner is the mitzvah, and Torah is the light. Debo'i uvdin de mitzvot la'atakna shraga, because we require acts of mitzvos to perfect the fire, to fix the fire. Uboi oraisa la'anhora shraga. And we need the Torah to light, to actually light the fire. You see, like the mitzvahs are making the preparation, and the Torah then brings down the light.
Shraga
is a fire, yes, a flame. Mm-hmm. The mitzvos metakne nevori haguf. Our mitzvos, in turn, they improve and prepare the limbs of our body, lihiyos kli lekabel heoris haneshama, to become a vessel able to hold on to the illumination of the soul, v'yidei haTorah meir haneshama. And how does the soul bring illumination? Through the Torah. The mitzvos prepare the body. The neshama lights it up, and it's how does it light it up? By being a vehicle for the Torah. U'b'Shabbos Kodesh Meir HaNeshama Shezer Remes HaMokas Ner B'Shabbos. On the Holy Shabbos, our neshama is lit, and this is the hint for the lighting of the candles on Shabbos. It's not just the bringing of the light physically, but spiritually, our neshama becomes a vehicle for the illumination of Shabbos. Ubimei Maisa, and what about during the days of the week? That's La'atkana Shraga. That's when we make preparations for the fire. Right? We're working, we're involved in the world, you know, we're physically involved. That's like setting up the candles to get ready. Interesting, but the minhag that men prepare the meiros for their wife to light.
I was
thinking about this similar idea. Yeah. Making the light candles ready to be macabre.
If we started using the kind of candle,
mm-hmm.
the little ones, that they don't light as well when it's pre-lit, the second
mm-hmm.
Is there another, would any kind of hakana be like mm-hmm. included in this image?
Yeah,
if you set it up.
Right.
Yeah.
The idea is to be mishtatef in the hakana of the neiros.
But it's not dafka the lighting.
That's how it is, dafka the lighting. But if it's not, you know, if it's not going to help,
right.
It's going to hurt, then it wouldn't be right. The Yom HaShabbos L'Anhora Shraga. So the days of the week prepare the fire. As they prepare it, they work on it. And the day of Shabbos itself ignites it. It brings the light. The Kvar Kosta B'Makom Acher, we've already written, Ma'ashalif amim ne'amar ata ta'ir neri, ulifa'amim ato neri. He says there's a difference in David HaMelech's expression in Tehillim. Sometimes he says, you will light my candle. And other times he says, you are my candle. In Tehillim. Uki'inyan shakasa bazar akadish de yeshemen lama'or v'yeshemen hama'or shuhu madrega govela. So this is similar to what the Zohar writes, that there is oil for lighting, and there is oil which is light, which is a higher level. Oil for lighting and oil which is light. I don't know which oil that is, the oil which is light. D'yesh neshamo shehem kelim l'kabel ha'or. There are souls, neshamos, that are vessels to hold on to the light. V'yesh neshamos gvohos, and then there are higher neshamos, shehem ba'atzmam ha'or, that they actually are the light. If there's such a realm of neshama, it's not just that it's a vehicle for the expression of Hashem's light, but it actually contains Hashem's light. The higher realms of neshama. Kamo shekasuv chelek Hashem amo, as it's written, this does not mean literally, a portion of God is his nation. Because of course, you can't have a portion or a piece of God. It's not a Jewish idea. But it means that that light, this godly light, is actually the identity of that higher neshama. It's not just that the light is passing through, but that's what they are. Pretty high realm of neshama. Bezel b'chinas Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so who is such a neshama, Moshe Rabbeinu? In case we thought maybe we had a shot at it, right? Ki tov hu, as it says, ki tov hu. It is tov, ein tov el Torah. Where does it say that she saw that he was good? Is it Basheva or his mother, when he was born, right. When he was born, it says that Yocheved saw that the child was good, and that's where they learn out that the house became filled up with light when he was born. So, Ein Tov El Torah. Tov refers to Torah. And Torah, in this passage, means that very essence of God, godly light. Moshe was born that way. That's why it says, Hashem tells Moshe, they shall bring to you pure olive oil, lam'or, to light. Or they're bringing the oil in order to make light. But they're bringing it to Moshe. Why does Moshe have to have it? Because he is the light.
He's
the match. Shehu shemen ha'or, etzem ha'or, where Moshe Rabbeinu is the etzem ha'or. He is the essence of light in itself. L'chein kasi, that's why it's written, v'yato tetzaveh, this famous question, why does this parsha start off in such an unusual fashion, right? It doesn't say v'yadavash ha'moshe le'mor, it says, v'yato tetzaveh, you shall command the Jewish people. It's very unusual. So he says, they're saying because Hashem is directing you, Moshe Rabbeinu, your neshama is light. You have to begin this process. You're the source of all of this. Let everybody bring it to you. The Torah expands into 245 positive and 365 restraining mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Prince of Torah, is that force which unifies all the neshamos of the Jewish people, and therefore they take to him this oil so he can unify the Jewish people through it. Umoshe Shemen Hamor. Shin Mem He. That's right. Shin Mem He. That light that the Zohar was talking about, the oil which is light, is Moshe Rabbeinu. U'b'Shabbos Miskale Ha'oras Moshe Rabbeinu B'chol Yesh Yisrael. On Shabbos, right now, we have to draw back on the previous few lines. He said above that on Shabbos the light comes down. And he also said that Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is the light. So therefore, when Shabbos comes, it follows that each Jew has an influence and a revelation from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki haneshama shalamata hin shemem lamaor, because the lower neshamas of Israel, those are the oil to make light. The shorish haneshama shalamala shemen hamaor, and the higher source of the neshama is the light. U'b'shabbos kodesh yesh hiskalus neshama yisera, v'azeh ne'mar atah neri. And on Shabbos there is this revelation of the higher realm of neshama, which is the light itself. And that's when David HaMelech says that you are my light.
During the week, he says,
right. That would be ato toyer neri. You light it, and then ato neri is the source of light. That's a mimer that we have to probably learn a couple hundred times. To it's a very, very profound.
Yeah, I totally love that.
This is
it's too many things.
It's
hard to learn. So much we need, all of us need a blackboard. And you need to just chart it out, you know.
I hope you had pure thoughts in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that in the last one.